Before we get into that, I just wanted to make an introduction. We have Bruce Buxton, who is the new director of NOAA Fisheries Office of Law Enforcement, is here. Bruce, would you like to say a word to us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, just very quickly, appreciate the time to be able to sit with the council the last day and a half. Interesting process. I've been at the Pacific Council and the South Atlantic Council, and processes seem very similar, just a lot of different faces. And I've been in this seat about 60 days, and I thought it was appropriate to be able to let you folks put a face with a name. I've actually, in that 60 days, been to New England three different times. This is my third time. And each time I've had the opportunity not only to meet with our staff, but also some of the stakeholders and industry folks and folks like yourself. And it's part of my continuing education on fisheries issues in New England. I come out of Florida, spent 29 years with Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, so I'm relatively familiar with Southeast issues, but completely different up here in the New England area. So appreciate the opportunity to be able to be here with you all. Like I said, just primarily interested in giving you a face with a name and making sure that you know that we're part of this process and going to stay involved. And had the opportunity, I believe, the first day to meet Logan Gregory, the SAC in the Northeast. So we intend to stay engaged and aware of what's going on. So I'll keep it as short as that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, and we certainly look forward to working with you.
And I intend to be around, so if at a break, I certainly wouldn't be opposed to chatting with a few of you folks if you've got questions about enforcement issues from our office. Thanks again.
Thank you. Brian.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Enforcement Committee met in mid-October, New Hampshire. First thing on the agenda was the gear stowage and transiting of closed areas. The committee spent extensive time on this, on the safety issue of tarping the net reel, and there were several different motions that were made and withdrawn, and we spent quite a bit of time on that issue. And what we ended up coming to a conclusion was that the committee will sponsor a one-day workshop with the fishing advisors, the JEAs, the Coast Guard at the Coast Guard Training Center on Cape Cod to review the entire not available for immediate use section, including but not limited to the tarp rule, and develop an appropriate panel replacement to the tarp. We will report back the findings at the January council meeting. If anybody has any questions on that, we spent a tremendous amount of time on that. It was realized that through the years, VMS has changed, the requirements have changed, how dangerous it was. It was felt that the tarp was creating, and whether there were better ways to do it or not. So the Coast Guard graciously offered to hold us at the training center, and hopefully we can report back to the council on whether or not it's a necessary provision. One of the things we did ask was there have been quite a few closed area violations, and was it because they were fishing or was it because of noncompliance with the regulation? And if I'm not mistaken, it seemed to be most of them were noncompliance with the regulation. And so if that was the case, we felt it was time that it be looked at in regards to safety. I think I have that correct. If there's any questions.
Jim?
Yeah, it's more of a statement. I find it hard to believe that after all these years, we can't find one rule that we can replace. After going to VMS and everything else we've done, we have to keep an old antiquated tarp flopped over a net reel. I mean, you can fly over a boat, and if his doors aren't there and there's a main wire going off the stern, he might be towing. You don't have to put a top over to determine that.
Any other questions on that? Frank, is there an action? Or?
No, there's no action on that. We'll have the year workshop, and then we'll get back to report to the council on where we think it should go from there. We next discussed, we did not take any action on because the timing was HMS vessel and gear markings. We agreed with most of them. There was just a little concern that you needed a one-inch marking on the gear and also on the vessel, and we looked into that to see if that was correct or not. And I don't know if anybody got back to us with a response, but that wasn't a major concern. Skate ID, there was a lot of time spent on skates, saying it was very difficult to identify them, especially when you only had the wings left. So the committee asked that a new skate ID should be made up, and it should include a better background so you could actually see the skates and the spots, and also possibly include the wings on that. So we were told that that could be something that could be accomplished. Hopefully they'll get back to us a new skate ID. Let's see. Gear. Sorry, I'm scrolling down here. We discussed the Whiting incidental trip limits. It was found that the major concern was the Red Hake. We found that it was not going to be a safety issue. People were not going to be targeting them, so that was something that will be handed over to the Whiting Committee, because Red Hake is not worth much and the landings are difficult to get rid of, the committee sees no safety or enforcement problems resulting from the incidental limits. If anybody has any questions on that? No? Okay. Herring Amendment 5, the draft EIS for Amendment 5 to the Herring Plan is approved by the Council. There are four elements to propose of the catch monitoring system for the river herring. This will be the committee and the advisors will give it a PowerPoint presentation on the entire draft amendment for the review. It is anticipated that there will be a special one-day Council meeting to be held on Amendment 5, and at some time in January, the Enforcement Committee, at the beginning of each section, are listed the Enforcement Committee's recommendations and other options that were previously reviewed in 2009. The goal of the committee is to prepare an enforcement and safety analysis for the next meeting. Questions? Our next meeting is scheduled to be actually in January up in the Portland area, which is right in the heart of the herring community, so hopefully we'll have some industry participation at that one. And let's see. Any questions? The committee worked on, the committee previously recommended that limited access general category scallop vessels be allowed to declare the trips inside the declaration demarcation line, and they currently declare from port. The committee reiterates its concern that if this goes forward, that it all vessels are now required to use VMS and declare from port, monkfish, red crab, herring, surf clam, motion call hog, etc. And if this goes forward with scallops, the committee recommends that it be changed for the others. So, in general, if a requirement is changed for one FMP, that it should be changed for all FMPs. Any questions on that? Nope. So far, so good. And additionally, effective September 19th, 2011, the trip start hail message from the groundfish trips is no longer required. The trip end hail is still required for both sector and common pool vessels on groundfish trips. We discussed this, and there was also a discussion on the length of time that it takes to send some of the VMS messages. Any fisherman who is uncertain as to whether their message was delivered should call the NIMS VMS team and make sure that it was reported. And that was... unless somebody has anything else. Dave? Oops, sorry.
No, I just wanted to comment on that because I followed up on it a little bit. I think a number of fishermen are confused about the fact that once they send those, they have to leave the VMS computer running In other words, you know, if you send it and then shut the computer off, it just doesn't do anything. So a lot of fishermen have sent them and done that, at least on some of the inshore boats, and haven't got a. But what you get is you get one of three things happens. It'll say processing, and if it doesn't process it right, it'll draw a line in the box. And then if it processes it right, eventually you'll get something that says sent. So if you haven't got sent, you don't know that it's actually made it to the service. And in order to get that sent, you have to leave that computer running, sometimes for a substantial amount of time, 2 or 3 hours. If you're a day boat and you're on a half hour from port, a lot of people have been shutting them off when they get in. And so there is some confusion there. I've talked to several fishermen and asked them to call enforcement and find out if, in fact, they got their messages, because I don't think they may or may not have. You don't know.
Okay. That's all I have on the committee. The other question I have is, I spoke to you the other day about the draft enforcement priorities have come out, and the comment period is November 8th to January 9th. So it really doesn't give the council an opportunity to comment on those as a council. Even as far as the committee goes, it would be somewhat difficult to even have a committee meeting. Not impossible, but we could probably have a committee meeting prior to the end of the comment period if the council wishes the committee to look at them. Problem there is cannot report back to the council. So I'll ask for some guidance there, whether we should have a meeting, or if individual council members want to comment on their own, or how we would like to proceed.
If you held that meeting, are there other issues that you could cover rather than just doing the comments?
We could ask. We would probably do the herring, but I don't know if we'd have the herring information prior to the January 9th deadline. So maybe Lou can.
The herring schedule was revised after our meeting, and they actually are recommending we now meet in February for that purpose, so we wouldn't be able to do that in early January. The closing for these comments is January 9th.
A suggestion that I would put out without objection of council members is that if you wanted to work with staff to craft some comments and get them to the executive committee, and perhaps we can circulate and look at them to submit them, unless somebody on the council objects to that process. Bruce.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We are very interested in your comments. This will be a living document, so should the time, I appreciate you being able to push this forward, because we would like to get those as close to beginning in January, be able to get something final published. But as I said, it'll be a living document, so if it's more appropriate for you to provide input later, then we can actually include those at a later time. It doesn't fit our timing great, but we're still very interested in the council and the representatives being able to give us not rush comments, but important comments. So we'll be willing to work that out at least. And I expect we'll be looking at these annually so we can continue to flesh out the issues on that as we move forward.
Okay, so we should be able to put it on when we do the hearing. Hopefully we can get it in the same day. No. Yep, that is it.
Thank you. Anything else under enforcement? Okay, before we move on to the ecosystem-based fisheries management, we've had a request from Mayor Lang to speak to the council. Speak to the council. Speak to the council. Speak to the council.